Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here today. I want to talk to you about feedstocks. Your industry depends on the ample supply of reasonably priced feedstocks. I want to start with soybean oil, tour through some of the other oils, and then move back to soybean oil. But soybean oil, the largest domestic oil, is probably the oil that's most influenced by the international situation. So I do want to look at what's going on internationally as well. And I want to do this all in a very short space of time. The price you pay for soybean oil, whether you're a biodiesel producer, whether you're a consumer shopping in the grocery store, or whether you're a person who likes to eat food, and who doesn't, is going to be influenced by factors happening far away, by the Malaysian palm oil yield cycle, by the sea surface temperatures off the coast of Peru, or by China's decision to build soybean stocks. So I want to start just by looking at where we are now in terms of prices. This is a very long-term price chart of soybean oil. We had the big bull market that culminated with 71 cents in 2008, and then we had the resulting crash. Now, just as back in the early 70s, when prices rallied to new historic highs, after they set back, they traded in a new and permanently higher trading range. And I think that that's probably going to be the case this time around as well. So as where for about two decades, prices traded in a band of about 15 to 35 cents, we may be setting up a new trading range of about 30 cents to possibly 60 cents on the high end. The reasons for the bull market were basically the confluence, sort of a perfect storm of bullish fundamentals that started actually about the time the biodiesel industry was really getting going, with this increased new usage for oils for which there was no meal equivalent, also increased investor interest in commodities, also the fact that we had been in a long-term bear market in commodity prices for about two decades, so we had to have a natural correction of that. The sell-off that we had demonstrated that economics worked, that the high prices were the best fertilizer, that it did encourage additional production. It also discouraged consumption. And so now we're in a situation where we have to find a balance. Some of those bullish factors are still there, and that should support prices. But some of the factors that are associated with the sell-off are still there also, and that's likely to keep those highs standing for a very long time. It could be decades before we take out that 71-cent high. What we need to do is we need to have prices high enough to encourage expanded production so that you have the available fuel stocks. But we need to have prices low enough so that it doesn't discourage the consumption. In the global situation, palm oil has about a third of the world production. Soybean oil is slightly less than that, slightly under 30%. But vegetable oil prices are often determined by trade. Consumption is larger, but trade is reported, and it also represents shortages and surpluses. So that tends to be more associated with price changes. And in the world of world trade, palm oil has 62%, soybean oil has slightly under 20%. So what's happening in palm oil does have an impact on soybean oil. Palm oil production has been growing faster than other oils. Soybean oil is the second largest oil in world production. We had a little dip in production last year because of a 70-year drought in Argentina, which constrained their production of soybean oil. Rapeseed oil is growing because of demand for fuel usage in Europe, and sun oil is kind of lagging behind. The palm oil and the lauric oils on the bottom, that's coconut and palm kernel oil, those are tree oils. They don't respond quickly to price signals. But soybeans, canola, and sunseed do respond very quickly to price signals because they're annual crops. palm oil dominates world trade, as I said. Now, the one thing that I think that I would like you to keep in the back of your minds, if you're a soybean oil user, is that palm oil production is likely to grow at a slightly slower pace. Malaysia has pretty much planted their land and now depends on yield increases to boost output. So their production trajectory has slowed down. Indonesia is still increasing on additional plantings. But because palm oil is so important in the world trade, a little change in palm oil exports can have a big impact on soybean oil exports. And Brazil's soybean oil exports are actually trending downward, declining because of their additional usage domestically of soybean oil for biodiesel. In Argentina, they also have a domestic, or will have a domestic mandate this year, but they're a small country. The real impact there of biodiesel usage on exports is because of a differential export tax, which favors exports of biodiesel versus soybean oil. And so what that situation is doing is it's increasing U.S. soybean oil exports, and that could be a factor going forward, and that's a source of competition for domestic usage of soybean oil. In the world, soybean oil competes with 17 other fats and oils. And what we are seeing this year is probably the second consecutive year where the increase in consumption outpaces the increase in production. There's about 1.5 million tons of additional oil consumed every year just because of population growth. In addition to that, we have a sizable but fluctuating amount that's due to increased incomes or lower prices, factors that increase per capita consumption. And then on top of that, we have an increasing usage for industrial purposes, mostly biodiesel. World stocks of edible oils are expected to decline this year, and soybean oil stocks are expected to decline for the third consecutive season. We're also seeing a decline in the stocks to usage ratio for soybean oil. And normally, that's associated with higher prices. World vegetable oil prices tend to trade in a band, bounded on the bottom by palm oil, on the top usually by rapeseed oil or sun oil, and then soybean oil is in the middle. We saw a low in prices in the spring of 2009. They tend to cycle in about a 4-year cycle, and after the rally that we've had, prices have kind of stagnated, but we may have one more rally high before we enter the bearish phase of the cycle. U.S. soybean production reached a record high level this year, but South American production is increasing faster and several years ago surpassed U.S. output. We had a big dip there last year, and that was associated with that serious drought I mentioned in Argentina. However, they're more than making up for it this year, and actually production is probably going to be even higher than the bar shown on that chart. USDA just raised their estimate for Brazil another million tons yesterday. But because more than half of the world soybean output is produced in the southern hemisphere, we really have two soybean crops every year. We have one in the fall from the northern hemisphere and a new crop in the spring from the southern hemisphere. We had very tight supplies this past fall because a record large U.S. crop could not offset the small supplies left from last year's decimated South American crop. Now we're moving into the spring. We're looking at very tight U.S. soybean supplies, but South American supplies are record large. So in total, we could be looking at record large soybean supplies in the world this spring. Now, the only problem with that is it's great to look at it on paper, but in Brazil, they have a huge land mass, and they have a lot of logistic problems. In fact, it's a logistical nightmare trying to move supplies to market. The northern port, the main road from Mato Grosso in Brazil to the northern part, is a two-lane dirt road. So I don't have to tell you what the combination of rainfall and grain trucks will do to a dirt road. The southern port, there used to be a huge lineup of trucks waiting to unload at the port, as much as 100 kilometers, that's about 60 miles long. They tried to solve this by creating essentially giant parking lots, but that didn't improve the wait time. Meanwhile, ships just waited in the ports for the beans to load on. So the fact that those supplies are there on paper doesn't mean that they're going to get smoothly to where they're needed. This slide reminds me sort of that old 60s song, "Where Have All the Flowers Gone?" It's "Where Have All the Soybeans Gone?" They've gone to China, every one. We had a record crop of soybeans this year, and because of the shortfall in beans from South America last spring, we had huge exports, just huge exports. China is taking many more beans from the United States this year. And essentially what that's done is it's depleted our soybean supply. So as we go into the March 1st stocks report midway through the season, our supplies will probably be less than last year's and the lowest in several years. When we get to the carryover, that will probably come in under 200 million bushels this year. And so we'll be quite tight, which will leave no cushion against weather problems this summer. However, the USDA will have their outlook form next week in Washington, and because we have such a big supply of beans from the southern hemisphere this spring, there'll be a lot left over for the first half of our new crop year. So the USDA is likely to indicate a reduction in U.S. soybean usage next year and an increase in carryover. You can't get from soybeans to soybean oil without also having soybean meal. And soybeans are a meal seed. About 80% of the content is meal, and about 60% of the value is meal. And domestic meal demand depends a lot on demand from the poultry and hog industries. That, in turn, depends on profitability, which in 2009 was very low and really hurt demand. And it's just starting to recover a little bit, beginning with broilers. The USDA is forecasting that poultry output will be up a little bit this calendar year, but they're forecasting that production of pork and beef will still be lower. And that has implications for animal fats. Production of lard tracks quite closely with production of pork, as you would imagine. It does reflect the reduction in slaughter weights, and we're looking at a second consecutive decline in U.S. lard production. Even if exports stay small, the domestic usage and domestic supplies are likely to be down. In the case of inedible tallow and grease, which the Census Bureau lumps together, really two different commodities, cattle numbers are down. The cattle on feed reports have indicated that cattle slaughter in the U.S. is likely to continue to decline well into 2011. That is likely to reduce inedible tallow output. And grease production is dependent heavily on the economy, meals eaten in restaurants, which are down. We export quite a bit of this. And if exports were to decline, we could use more domestically. But exports are going to depend a lot on the prices versus palm steering, and those prices look likely to be quite firm. So the domestic supplies of inedible tallow and grease may be down for another year. Soybean oil trades at a premium to animal fats. Interestingly, the price of yellow grease, the bottom on this chart, tracks most closely with soybean oil, probably because of the restaurant connection and the fact that the economy influences both so strongly, as well as the biodiesel connection that keeps them fairly tied together. In the world of vegetable oils, U.S. soybean oil trades at a discount to other domestic vegetable oils, partly because of its ready availability and large supplies. Soybean oil accounts for about 55% of the 56% of domestic usage, which is down from about 66% 10 years ago. We've seen an increase in domestic usage of canola oil and palm oil, but mostly for edible purposes. Domestic usage of soybean oil, the blue bars in this chart, that's the usage for baking and frying fats. It's declined a lot because of the move to remove trans fats from our diets. I don't know how many of you, when you go to the grocery store, stop and read the labels on the products that you're buying. Now they all list trans fat content. The largest consumption, salad and cooking oils, was hurt by the economy last year and may start to recover this year. But the usage of soybean oil for edible purposes in the United States is likely to be about unchanged. The difference this year could be increased usage for biodiesel. Soybean oil share of the fats and oils used domestically for biodiesel was about 90% 3 years ago and hit a low point of under 50% in 2009. However, the EPA's announcement last week finding that soybean oil-based biodiesel was an advanced biofuel is likely to increase consumption of soybean oil because of its ready availability. The red part, the additional oils, are the inedible tallow and greases, probably a lot of edible tallow, which is not reported by the Census Bureau, a little bit of corn oil, and some lard. Soybean oil stocks are the swing factor in total U.S. stocks. Other stocks of other oils tend to be pretty constant. We are looking for a decline in U.S. soybean oil stocks this year and very possibly a decline in stocks next year, which could result in firmer prices going forward. This is a schematic of swings in soybean oil prices, cash soybean oil prices, that goes back to post-World War II times. Notice back on the left-hand side of the chart, prices then traded in a range of about 7.5 to 15 cents. Once they broke out of that range in the early 70s, they established a new range that was pretty much 15 cents to about 30 cents, with the high of the old range becoming the low of the new range. If that were going to happen again, we could see a range of about 30 cents to 60 cents. There's also a cyclical component to soybean oil prices. As I said before, we did see a low last year in 2009. We could see a high sometime this year and then look at maybe 2 years of declining prices going forward beyond that as we enter the bearish phase of the cycle. So, thank you very much for your attention. I hope I've left you with the message that we do need to augment our current supplies, soybean oil and other feedstocks, with new feedstocks, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing what the next panel has to say. Thank you.